meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hi, everybody, and welcome. Welcome. I couldn't hear. I got everything's fine now. Okay. A little bit of a kind of trip into the show this morning, or afternoon, I guess, because it's 12 o'clock. But anyway, welcome, everybody. I am your brother, and I share with you the distress, the endurance, and the distress, the kingdom, and the endurance we have in Christ Jesus. Always taking those words from St. John as he opens the book of Revelation. And Tony's on his way, so I think what we'll do is we'll pray. But before we do that, I just I'm already looking at the readings coming out for this the 13th Sunday in Ordinary Time. So that's upcoming Sunday, and I might have mentioned before, but one of our students said to me, "Hey," he says, "you know, Father, you're going to be really shocked when I tell you this." And I say, "Okay, shock me. You know, what are you going to say?" He says, "I don't believe in this God stuff and all that." I said, "Okay." I said, "Well, what do you believe? What do you believe in?" He says, "I believe in man." And I said, "Well, what does man do to man, you know?" And he said, "Oh, I got to think about that, you know." So, but I thought of that when I was reading from the Book of Wisdom, which we'll hear in the church on this 13th Sunday in Ordinary Time, this upcoming Sunday. But that it begins, "God did not make death, nor does he rejoice in the destruction of the living, for he fashioned all things that they might be, that they might have being, and the creatures of the world are wholesome, and there is not a destructive drug among them, nor any domain of the netherworld on earth, for justice is undying." Now, what follows that? "For God formed man to be imperishable. By the image of his own nature he made him, but by the envy of the devil, death entered the world, and they who belong to his company experience it." So the point being that, I've been grappling with this this question, because I've mentioned many times, and every time I do it, I wonder, is this right or is this heresy or what? But you know that God is all powerful. That we know. God is all-powerful, but the one power he doesn't have is the power not to love us. I've been challenged on that by a couple of people, and but again, I look at this from the Book of Wisdom, that God did not make death, does not rejoice in the destruction of the living. He fashioned all things that they might have being. He loved us into life. He loved us not to not love us. We were loved by God into life. And the creatures of the world are wholesome. Not a destructive drug among them, nor any domain of the netherworld on earth, for justice and undying. God formed man to be imperishable. The image of his own nature he made him. So we're created in the image and likeness of God, destined. Can we come from God? We're destined for God, but we have. But love demands a response. So, or otherwise, it wouldn't be love. And so, we're a free people in that regard. And again, Jesus said, "If you deny me, I will deny you because I have to respect your freedom. Those are my words. But if you're unfaithful, I will remain faithful. And isn't that really the message of the divine mercy that Jesus, in speaking to St. Maria Faustina Kowalska, he said to proclaim to the world, certainly because the world has need for this good news of God's greatest attribute, which is mercy, that no matter how steeped in sin, no matter how dark the soul may be, fear not to come to me, because I await you, because I, in a word, I love you. You belong to me. You're my creation. He's the artist. We're the work of his hands. He's the potter. We're the clay, and so on. And we're a broken and a wounded and a sinful people. We suffer the effect of original sin, and we will all the days of our life in this world until we finally rest in God. But I just reading from the Book of Wisdom again, it just kind of reinforces in my mind that, yes, of course, we know God is all-powerful, but the power he doesn't have is the power not to love us. And but at the same time, by the envy of the devil, death entered the world, and they who belong to his company experience it. So, you know, to be man-centered as opposed to God-centered is a very dangerous place to be, because of course Satan seduces, he deceives, he creates the illusion. He's also the accuser. How many times do we have to repeat that? And he doesn't. As Jesus said, he comes as an angel of light, and so we have to be in the light, the true light, which is God. God is light. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And, you know, come out of the darkness, a darkness we don't perceive until we actually truly see the light, which is God. And then there's nothing that that compares. So anyway, Tony, welcome.
Thank you, Father.
So what's your problem here? Really?
You've known me for so long, Father.
Yeah.
That's not an answer. That's not a one-hour show answer.
Okay, you got it. Hey, by the way, you know, before we pray, and in fact, we'll talk about this, and then we'll pray because it's there's need for prayer, always need for prayer. But without mentioning names and all that, I was just shocked to hear about your sister, your sister-in-law.
Yes. So, we were all shocked.
So tell us, because this is, I talked to somebody else from the parish, believe it or not, who had the same thing happen, mm-hmm. not here around the parish, but in their neck of the woods. But how is she doing?
You know, she's doing fine. I mean, it's just...
What happened?
Well, she got carjacked.
This is terrible.
And we're talking about, but not the typical way you get carjacked. Let me just begin. My mom, I still hear this to this day. My mom used to always tell me, be careful, look around you always. Look at your surroundings, look who's around. Again, with my sister-in-law, I mean, I haven't really had the chance to sit and talk to her. Right. I want to let it settle, but
sure.
What she was doing, she was just taking, you know, my little niece Amanda somewhere, and I guess the person, they live... She was pulling into the garage, and I guess this guy...
Her garage.
So I guess this guy was walking on the other side of the street and kind of saw where she was going and kind of saw, you know, how people, you know, you flip your garage before you get in, right. So people know where you're at. Well, this guy came off, you know, the street and at gunpoint, stuck her up.
Unbelievable.
Took the vehicle, took her money, took her phone, and thank God... That's all he took.
And her daughter was with her?
No. That's the thing. She was by herself.
Wow.
And I know, Marty. I mean, she is most of the time very cautious of who's her. But you know how it is.
Sure, yeah.
You know, you're a mom, you're a busy mom dropping the kids off, or you're doing three things at once. And I've said this even about myself, because I find myself doing that too. I'm doing two or three things at once, and you're not paying attention on what is in front of you. But you know, he kind of roughed her up a little bit. You know, beat her. Well, he didn't beat her up, but he, you know, just roughed her up.
Well, and but he had a was it gunpoint?
At gunpoint.
How is she?
Mighty Cruz is very strong, and I don't think she's really. Oh, she's probably listening to. She's dealing with it. Wow. This is the best way she can deal with it.
I can't get that out of my head. I blessed her at Holy Communion, yes. You know, because your wife told me before.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just yesterday I was telling somebody about that as well, and and they said one of our parishioners, her grandson, the same thing happened to him.
See, it's normally, I mean, I'm saying it's normally. I mean, it could happen at any time, at any place, but usually when you're in traffic and, you know, you're in sometimes a secluded place, it could be somebody bumps on you and then you think, oh, wow, well, we got an accident. Let's get out and make a big thing about it. And that's how they get you. You got to watch out who's in the car behind you. You got to, you know, if it's not worth stopping, which tell you the truth, unless it's something where there's damage and you can see it's like one person. But usually it's two people, three people in the car, and that's what they do. They bump you. You get out of the car. And boom, before you're long.
It's happening all over the place.
Yeah, and I, over the weekend, too, it's like I don't normally watch the news, but Angelica showed me something with the Puerto Rican parade. You know, they had all these shootings.
Yeah, so somebody was telling me that. So what happened?
What, the shootings?
No, yeah, there was something that happened.
Well, again, you know, you hear the news, and I love the news, because, you know, I hear the news, oh, well, the crime in Chicago is going down, but it's not as bad as in other states or other cities. And I'm thinking, okay, well, okay, that, again, and then the next thing after that is, oh, well, over the weekend, you know, at the Mexican, or not the Mexican, the Puerto Rican parade, you know, we had all these shootings. We had 50 people shot, but I actually saw, I guess it was, you know, Facebook thing or whatever the case, or maybe Angelica found it some way, and she showed me how, God, just looking at this was so horrific that it looked like they, you know, there was a car with people in it, and then there was a commotion, and a guy comes up and pulls the two people out of the car and shoots them point blank.
Yeah, they were in the parade?
I don't know if it was a parade part of the deal or if it was one of those situations where they were just in a neighborhood and there was cars, you know, as if they were all, you know, how they all go and they're all, you know, celebrating, which is fine. And, you know, they show a guy come out and point blank just shoot these. It could have been, they were looking for him. It was a gang. I don't know what it could be. Or what I feared was it was like an innocent somebody just being in the wrong place at the wrong time. And, you know, you kind of cut somebody off or somebody gets mad at your driving or something like that. And then they carry this kind of thing. And
reading about this every day.
Yeah. And then after that, you just, again, you hear, okay, well, crime's going down. But then they show these things, and it's like every weekend.
Everybody knows crime's going up.
Exactly.
I mean, so what is this the? So I've been really busy through the weekend, so I didn't. But what was the incident? There was an incident where the people were.
This was in Humboldt Park, so I don't know.
In Humboldt Park. But then, how did the people around the? How did the people respond?
I just saw the clip of, you know, like, again, I don't know what was the situation, what was the context of it, but it was just, you see the guys in this car, and then the guy comes out, pulls them out, shoots them both.
Yeah, gosh.
But you see it. It's just, you know, like when we saw the first beheading, you know, you think, oh my gosh, this is horrible. But then you get used to it. You get, I don't know, desensitized?
Desensitized.
This is what this looked like. It almost looked like a movie, but you knew. I mean, you come back and you kind of recoil. And
But see, when you're living in a war zone, and we are, I just heard this morning a doctorate student on the south side, a woman, young woman, was stabbed to death in the South Loop.
Yep.
You know? And there's just stuff's going on all over the place. What I don't understand either, and you hear this almost every day about these killings on the expressway.
Yeah.
You know, is this random shootings or are the, I don't know what the situation is.
It's interesting too with that because, again, you know, you listen to the news, and I do. I'm in the car, I have the news on. So you listen to this and you don't think this is real until you're kind of in it. One time I was going somewhere, I was taking a friend somewhere, and we were stuck on the expressway for like hours because they were investigating exactly what happened, one car shooting at the other.
Huh.
So, I mean, you know, even with the carjackings too, it's like until you, you know, I see it too, and I've heard it, until it's somebody you know, then it becomes kind of, you know.
Yeah, no, it's happening entirely to many of these. I mean, one is too much.
I mean,
but it's
and
all
let,
over.
Let's be brutally honest here, and I'm not gonna be that guy that starts yelling, "Get a gun and shoot everybody." I'm not. But think about this: police can't be everywhere. They can't. And on top of that, now, again, let's say I'm not one of those guys, or let's say I'm one of those guys today that are all about the BLM and you know, let's defund the police. Look at this now. This makes no sense.
Makes no sense.
It makes no sense. How could one, you know, take this full package? You can't have one and then not, you know, there's a reason for all of this.
Well, I heard, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying there's a reason for all of this, but anyone that sits back, you got to realize none of this is making sense.
No, none of it.
And you can't be on the side of, I don't know, but I'll do this, even though it makes no sense. I can't put two and two together.
What's happening in our country, what's happening in Chicago is beyond... Sunday I was actually speaking about that, and without being very direct, but that I do feel that I truly believe the biggest crisis in the nation is fatherlessness. We don't have fathers. It's a breakdown of the family, and I heard today, I don't know, did you hear this, that the mayor is going to wants to bring in the National Guard?
Oh, really? Now?
Yeah.
Now she does.
Well, you know, it's like they've got to do something. Something's got to be done, because we're saying this, you know, to everybody, just as you said, as your mother said to you, you've got to be really aware of what's going on.
Yeah.
Keep your eyes open.
Always keep your eyes open.
And don't... you know, it's almost like you've got to move as though you're conscious. You got eyes all around you. You know, you're looking at all, but at the same time, you look at nobody.
Yep.
You know,
and the phone. If you need a phone, comes in handy when you want to call the police, but it doesn't come in handy if you're on that phone looking at it all the time and you don't see the what they say, the demons around you that are plotting your demise.
Yeah.
I mean, I put it biblically, that's just the way.
But that's what it's becoming.
And they're everywhere.
It's everywhere. That's the thing. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. And very depressing. But, you think about this, you know, and that's even as I was preparing for the Sunday masses and for the homily and all that, it's the same message, you know, always on Father's Day, because I have a real passion for this, and somebody was, you know, visibly angry the night before at the mass because
it was interesting when you said that. I was curious to know.
The idea that, because I do mention, you know, that in the Bible. Is patriarchal. You take men out of the picture, fatherhood, the patriarchy. Now, again, we're talking about a patriarchy that is that's been formed according to God reveals Himself, right, as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and. The church is Mother Church. It's a nuptial. God wedded to His bride, the church. But there's an ordering. There's a proper ordering, a way to order life as God in God's divine providence. He ordered things in such a way that man and woman are equal but distinct, and. And the father is a protector, a provider. He looks to the horizon. He sees what's coming. What is it to provide, to protect, and to prepare, and to prepare, right? Because in this life, there's always going to be conflict. We're always going to be at war. You know, I say right now we're in a war zone because we're because we've basically obliterated God from the society as God has revealed Himself in history. You know, so we can redefine God. We can do that. We shouldn't do it. Yeah, that would be a grave sin, but we're certainly doing it. And when you do that, or there's the apostasy, the going away from the faith, going away from God, it's like, again, as I entered the show with the young man, a student who said, you know, you're going to be shocked, you know, I don't believe in this God stuff and all that. And that just seems to be a great boast for people today, you know, to claim to be non-believers. Or, you know, they work out with God things. Me and God, we work it out the way we want it to be. I don't need, you know, the church. I don't need the priests or the sacraments or the commandments of God because I'm a good person, you know. Mm-hmm. But without mentioning that I'm a very selfish, very egocentric kind of a person, you know, I'm saying in general that's basically when you use that kind of analogy that you have that position that it's I don't need all this. It's really about me and God. It's really really about me, right? It's not really about God at all. It's really about me, but it deadens the conscience. So it gives me because the bottom line is we don't want the discipline of the faith. We don't want to be bound by the commandments of God, which are really for the better good of everybody, and it's about freedom, genuine freedom, so that we can live peacefully. We're not at peace in this country or in this city right now. And I'm telling you, it's no exaggeration because I hear it more and more and more from people. Apart from the carjackings, you know, we read every day about the violence, the killings, and all.
It's the way this city is run. The mayor, the governor. That's who I blame. No one else.
Well, but I. But
that's
I,
just me.
Well, no, you're
that's
right.
Just
about
me.
The corruption in the government. But I'm saying that if we don't, because the government is the cause of the breakdown of the family as well.
We're
well,
letting
not,
this
not just,
happen.
Not just the government, but the whole media culture, the Hollywood, all the stuff that's been going on for
it's
decades
all
already.
All parts it's, that it's, just it, now you see working together.
Yeah.
It's like a slap in the face, and I think it's going to be that quick.
Well,
we
hope,
haven't.
Yeah, the hope is that you know that there is going to be a reawakening. There is going to be truly we're going to be woke to what what's being done to the culture. That there is an attempt, very serious attempt, very devious. Attempt to change the very nature of a God fearing, God abiding, a God sensitive people, because again you go back to you know I'll go back to when I was a kid. Even as in Father's Day, I always reflect on this on Father's Day that it was a very different, it was a different world.
Yeah.
I I've said this before too, but even the 37 years that I'm a priest, it's radically different. I mean, there's nothing new under the sun. There's always been problems, but we see how quickly. We've come to this this kind of chaotic state where people have been basically bullied into silence. Those who, my hope is that people are gonna, and I think it's beginning to happen, but there's a limit where people are gonna say, we're not gonna let this happen to our children. We were thinking about, and I hear this all the time, people in my age bracket, and I'm in the 60s. Who say, you know, I'm not too worried about myself. My days have been lived. You know, my time is coming. But my children, my grandchildren, I fear for them. And rightfully so. But what's going on right now in the city, you know, if the mayor brings in the National Guard
well, at least God bless her for that, because there's something's got to be done. There's got to be a return to law and order. We've got to be a law-abiding people. But if we do not resolve the crisis in the family, the crisis in fatherhood, manhood, if we don't all take responsibility, then I don't see how we're going to, you know, turn this thing around.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're gonna we'll take a break, then we'll come back and pray, and then maybe. I just read this morning a couple of articles which really, really relate to this, because the gospel on Sunday was Jesus sleeping in the hull of the boat, and they're in the midst of a storm. And I didn't actually focus on that, although the poem I began with was about a child who felt the absence of his father. You know, father, father, where are you? Or, you know, do you remember that one? I think I might have it here with me, because it's a beautiful little poem by William Blake. So it does, it relates, because the apostles say, hey, Jesus, you're, wake up. You know, where are, do you not care that we're perishing?
It's interesting, and I know we're going to break real quick, but that would be something you would expect Jesus to say, you know, wake up.
Wake up, right.
But
right,
it's the opposite, right, which is interesting. Yeah.
But it's a beautiful gospel, and maybe, you know, I think many people today are saying, you know, or what I hear people say, I even heard this yesterday too, I was talking about your situation. Family situation, yeah. And they were telling me about their situation. Mm-hmm. And these are religious people who raised their children in the faith of the church. And again, the children are they're adults now, but they're so affected by the society we live in. And everybody says, where did we go wrong? But, you know, it just seems like, and they would say, you know, boy, God is going to, he's going to, we're going to be woke. We're going to be woke. Because how long can God allow this to fester or to perpetuate itself, this this godlessness? So fatherlessness equates with godlessness, you know. Remove God from society. Everybody do what you want to do. You know, I do my thing, you do your thing. It's all relative. No judgment, please, you know, whatever. Now, we've got to, I keep hearing this too, also, you know, we've got to return to God.
Yeah.
So people, they're saying that, they're thinking that, some people. And it doesn't take many to keep this thing moving in the wrong direction. All it takes is those powers to be. And there's a lot of them. I think there's more who are centered in God, maybe in a rather superficial way, but know that there's need for law and order, and it's perhaps the silent majority, but they have no voice, or to whose recourse. Who can they go to? Mm-hmm. Until, you know, again, the mayor all of a sudden, well, we got a problem here. This is way out of control. If it's true that she said that, not that, but that we need to bring in the National right. Guard, well, then you know, do it, and let's. But if there's not a conversion of the heart, you know, if we don't convert the heart, return to God. This is just going to perpetuate itself.
Yeah.
So, okay, we'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located 1 block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststandschicago.org. ststandschicago.org.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Koska Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. It's not too late to register for the 2021-2022 school year at St. Stan's. Seats are limited. For more information or to schedule a tour, call 773-278-4560. 773-278-4560.
And you're listening to The Winds of Change.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
Okay, welcome back, everybody, and now we shall pray. We have a lot to pray for.
Yes.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God,
pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death.
Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection, through the same Christ our Lord. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, hear us.
Christ, graciously hear us.
God, our Father in heaven,
have mercy.
God, the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy on us.
God, the Holy Spirit,
have mercy on us.
Holy Trinity, one God,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, Son of the Eternal Father,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, formed by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, substantially united to the Word of God,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, of infinite majesty,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, holy temple of God,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, tabernacle of the Most High,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, house of God and gate of heaven,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, burning furnace and charity,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, abode of justice and love,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, full of goodness and love,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, abyss of all virtues,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, most worthy of all praise,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, King and center of all hearts,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, in whom are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, in whom dwells all the fullness of divinity,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, in whom the Father was well pleased,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, of whose fullness we have all received,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, desire of the everlasting hills,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, patient and abounding in mercy,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, enriching all who invoke you,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, fountain of life and holiness,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, propitiation for our sins,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, filled with reproaches,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, bruised for our offenses,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, obedient to death,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, pierced with a lance,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, source of all consolation,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, our life and resurrection,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, our peace and reconciliation,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, victim for our sins,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, salvation of those who trust in you,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, hope of those who die in you,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, delight of all the saints.
Have mercy on us.
Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world.
Spare us, O Lord.
Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world.
Graciously hear us, O Lord.
Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world.
Have mercy on us.
Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make our hearts like unto yours. O most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this most critical time, we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. Most Holy Mother, we beg you to reclaim this land for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed with the burden of the sins of our nation, we cry to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us and touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to the great worth of human life and to the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Free us from the falsehoods that lead to the evil of abortion and threaten the sanctity of family life. Grant our country the wisdom to proclaim that God's law is a foundation on which this nation was founded, and that He alone is the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the courage to reject the culture of death and the strength to build a new culture of life. And now, trusting in your most powerful intercession, we pray. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we come, before thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother, the Word incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy, hear and answer us. O Mary conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know if you heard when you were in the car, I was just looking at the reading this morning. You know, God did not make death.
Yeah, I did.
Nor does he rejoice in the destruction of the living, for he fashioned all things that they might have being, and the creatures of the world are wholesome, and there's not a destructive drug among them, nor any domain of the netherworld on earth, for justice is undying. For God formed man to be imperishable, the image of his own nature he made him. Excuse me. So we can stop there, but he goes on, but the book goes on to say, but by the envy of the devil, death entered the world, and they who belong to his company experience it. You know, so people might be saying, often asking, you know, well, where is God? Or, you know, it's like we were made to do good, to be holy, to be godlike. But we need, because we're born into this wounded world that is still feeling the effect. We'll feel the effect of original sin until the end of time, until Jesus comes at the end of all things. We've got to, as the Lord said, you know, in his farewell discourse, he just, again, he holds nothing back, but, you know, that you're going to have trouble in this world. You're going to be persecuted on account of me. On account of my name, you're going to have trial and tribulation, distress, but take courage and be at peace. I've conquered the world. And so the gospel this past weekend had those apostles in the boat, and Jesus is in the boat as well, but he's sleeping in the hull of the boat, and they're in a storm, and they panic, and who wouldn't panic, right? Mm-hmm. And they say, "Don't you care what's happening?" They wake him up, and he was in the stern of the boat. Is that the hull? Is that the same thing? The stern, the hull. I think it is.
Yeah, something like that.
He was asleep.
There's different parts of the hull.
Right.
I can't think of them right now, though.
Asleep on a cushion, as a violent squall came up, and the waves were breaking over the boat, so it was already filling up with water, and the apostles, you know, with a great urgency, you know, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And Jesus simply said, quiet, be still. The storm stops. and there's a great calm. And he looked at them and said, why are you terrified? Do you not have faith? And they just looked at each other and said, who is this? Who then is this whom even wind and sea obey? It seems to me that we're getting to that point where people are asking themselves or asking each other, where's God in all this? Why is it that we feel so powerless? How is it that, the powers to be, the powers and the principalities seem to have the upper hand? They seem to have the upper hand. Like the truth is, what is truth, right? There's no truth, but their truth, you know, the truth that wants to completely reshape or redefine. Again, get God out of the picture and let's focus on man. And as that young man, as I said to the young man, what does man do to man, you know? You don't believe in God, but you believe in man, but what does man do to man? And he had to kind of scratch his head and say, you gotta think about that, right? Mm-hmm. But as the reading said, God doesn't, he didn't create us to harm us. He didn't create us to hurt us. He created us, he loved us into life. He created us, but doesn't condemn us to be in this world of evil. You know, there's great good in the world. The great good is realized the more centered in God we are. If we're really centered in God, and how often through the scriptures, and how often does Jesus repeat this over and over about the need to obey the commandments of God? If you obey the commandments of God, this is the proof that you love me, is that you obey the commandments. But even that he calls us into a life of high virtue, right? To be temperate, to be just, to be to have fortitude, to be prudent, to have faith, to have hope, to have love, to be God-centered, not self-centered. See, again, I keep saying again, but you know, we've been breeding this narcissism for so long that there's a tipping point, mm-hmm. when we seemingly we're at the point of no return. But by the grace of God, you know, if God would, I'll go back to those words of St. John, Pope John, well, Saint John Paul II, who said that we're up against a final confrontation between the church and the anti-church, between the gospel and the anti-gospel, between the Christ and the antichrist. And he says, I do not believe that that most are aware of this or perceive this, but this is a trial we have to take up. It's a trial, and we're most definitely in that trial. Now, interestingly, even in the church, the loss. I have to be careful when I say this, because it's not lost, but the we've got to lift the veil to the supernatural, to the transcendental, you know, the mysticism of the church. But we seem to be too centered in man ourselves and lacking a kind of centeredness in God. Or we maybe give God lip service, or you know, the sacraments are valid, but if they're not properly, when we enter into the sacred mysteries, into the Holy Mass, we have to, if we don't do so with reverence, if we don't do so with the intent that I'm going to renew my covenant with God, I'm going to be fed with the Word of God in order to understand, you know, what's going on out there in the world, and what am I doing or not doing? What must I do? What should I do? And then to recommit to renew my covenant, my personal covenant, but also collectively our covenant with Christ, through Christ to the Father. This question came up too, you know, but two questions, you know, the one thing about fatherhood and the other one about Did Jesus say, "Where two or three are gathered, there I am in their midst"? Now, I haven't checked this out, but somebody had sent me this question. Where two or three are gathered, or is it where two or more are gathered?
I think it's two or more. I've always known it to be two or more.
Two or more?
But I assume it's the same thing.
Because the point is that...
Where there's someone of the same mind, in a sense, right? I am there.
Jesus established the church, right? Through his body, the church. And so the church is... He promises to be faithful and to remain faithful to the church until the end, come what may, you know. And we know that at the end, the church is going to have to... there will be the great apostasy, the going away. And just today, there's just so much confusion, too, because even within the body of Christ, within the mystical body of Christ, within the church, there's so much confusion. We're just inundated with information.
And, you know, I'm more aware of that now than before because, you know, when you say great apostasy, is it one of those things that happens at the time where you see many people going away? Or in reality, has this not been happening for years now? And it's like when you look now and I'm more aware of that thinking, yes, this has been going on for a long time. And now I think it's at the point where it's, okay, this is the result.
Yeah, it's been going on from the very beginning, right?
Yes.
I think the difference today is unlike in the time of the incarnation when God was walking the earth, leading up to the messianic hour, which is the hour of our redemption through the shedding of his own blood. Immediately after, even as the church was founded, there was already, you read in scripture in the epistles, the letters, you know, the divisions that were beginning to, you know, as St. Paul says, you know, I bring this up so often, but because it's a source of consolation for me because it reinforces the need to be intent on living the full counsel of God, because he said to the priests, "I'm leaving, but I leave with a clean conscience because I did not withhold from you the full counsel of God, but you must know that the wolves are coming, you know, to deceive, divide, and devour." And so this has been an ongoing battle. Again, it goes back to that reading that's coming up on Sunday, right? That God created us for life and for love, not for evil. But what was the point that I was going to make? What did you just say? I was going to respond to something you said.
I don't remember.
you forgot to.
That this was happening.
But today, the difference between even from the time we were kids, is that we've got the world has become so small.
Yeah.
And with internet and with, you know, social media, technology, you know, this is where it feels like it's kind of spinning out of control, because you can't control that. And so, you know, to try to safeguard and protect a culture or the faith or a specific identity, it's just been, you know, it's everywhere now.
Yeah.
It's everywhere now. I saw, and we'll take a break, Nick, but I saw this, what was the guy's name, the chef who was Anthony Bourdain?
Oh, Anthony Bourdain.
He committed suicide.
Yeah.
What a tragedy. But I saw one of his, where he was in Africa, in among Africans that were... would be considered not living, I don't want to use a word, they weren't savages, but it was, you know, they in other words, they were tribal people. On the move, right? They didn't have a city, but they did have cell phones.
Wow.
You know, which was really interesting. did have cell phones, so they were tuned in to the world, yet they continued to live their life in the jungles of Africa. And just on the move, you know, just a tribal people that were moving from one place to the other, and basically surviving, you know, through their own hunting, you know, the primitive way of hunting, you know, mm-hmm. with the spears and all that kind of stuff. But yet they had the cell phone.
Wow.
So very interesting, yes. Yeah. But that's what makes our time very different. And also the fact that we have, for the first time in history, at least in our history, I mean, in the whole of history, but mm-hmm. but it's since we've been brought into this this very specific time mm-hmm. we live in, is we've got the power to bring the world to an end. You know, when you think of the nuclear mm-hmm. armaments and all this kind of stuff, we have this. You know, in the time when Jesus spoke about this, or Scripture speaks about this, it was a bit. Inconceivable. It would have to be a direct act of God that would bring the world to its end. But we've got the power, and if we, you know, to be stiff-necked and stubborn and egocentric, narcissistic, and reject God, obliterate God from life. And leave it to, you know, be centered in man and woman, then we have the power to, God can say, okay, you know, I leave you to your own designs, and where is this going to take you, you know? And so maybe that's how things are going to someday come to an end, because even that God would, well, I don't know. It's something to think about. Yeah. But we got to take a break. Okay, I'm sorry, Nick. We'll take a break. We'll be right back, and we'll wrap up. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Support.
The Supported Winds of Change.
WNDZ.
Yeah, exactly.
750.
St. Stan's needs your help. We are forming a group of volunteers called St. Stan's Cares to help parish and school families in times of need. To join the group or learn more, please contact Brian at 312-343-3222, and we will plan an upcoming virtual meeting to discuss the details. Almsgiving, it's one of the three pillars of Lent. Volunteer with St. Stan's Cares as a means of almsgiving.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. And on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org. This is Bold Talk with Father Thomas Loyola.
The topic of modesty and its epic battles between mom and daughter will once again rise along with the temperatures and crocuses of springtime. It's his responsibility to control himself. As a woman, I will wear whatever I want to wear. Is Harley sensitive, tolerant, enlightened, mutually respectful, or Catholic? St. John Paul II reminded us, the human body is never in itself an occasion for lust. Modesty and purity of heart are based on how the glories of the human body are presented and how they are received. Since God hardwired men to be more visually responsive, especially to womanhood, modesty is simply about asking women to assist men in their duty to perceive and relate to women according to God's design. Modesty in no way shifts the responsibility entirely onto the woman. It is not an objectification, subjugation, or sexualization of women, nor is it gender discrimination or prudishness. Modesty reveals a woman's self-possession, her intelligent awareness of the inherent dignity of her femininity, but also her mature understanding of the fallen side of both masculinity and femininity. I doubt if any young lady would wear leggings instead of a formal gown at her wedding. She knows that it really does matter how she presents her feminine body and through that, her person.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us as we wrap up this hour. I'm just kind of, well, the reality is reality, yeah. Right? You can't you can't escape it, and you got to talk about it because everybody's thinking about it, and you know we can put our head in the sand and pretend this isn't happening.
It's amazing. Many people do, you know.
They do, but
I don't know. Sometimes I say to myself, "I wish I was that person," but then I'm not. You know, it's like, I can't be that way.
Yeah, you, because you wouldn't be living in reality.
Exactly.
You know, it's like you know, we're not in
Kansas anymore.
We're not in Kansas anymore, right?
You know, I think in the Matrix.
but I guess it is a challenge to faith, and it is a, if anything, you know, the hope is that people will, be woke to the fact that we've lost our way. Collectively speaking, and we need a return to God. We need a return to the proper worship of God, which means, you know, we got to even come away from the whole entertainment and, you know, that I've, in other words, that worship becomes more self-serving than, you know, God-serving, right? Mm-hmm. So I go to worship because I'm being entertained. I'm being coddled and entertained and, I never could understand, by the way, the whole, these worship services I've seen, you know, where they've got the big bands and all that kind of stuff, and, you know, you get some really powerful preachers and all that, and I've listened to some of that from time to time, but it just, I just think that the Catholic worship, you know, as you listen to the prayers of the Mass, no matter what Eucharistic prayer we pray. My favorite, of course, is the Roman Canon, but we've got this is the four major Eucharistic prayers, and we've got some additional ones for reconciliation and for don't recall that puts a stress on the fatherhood of God. And but the at the center of all this is the sacrifice. You know, that we're reminded that God became the victim. The propitiation, the expiation for our sins, you know, that we would never lose sight of that manifestation of God's love, that he was anything but asleep in the stern of the boat, but he was very much, he came for a purpose, and he remains with us, but we've got to enter into that sacrifice, which means we enter into the discipline of the faith, and we do so with the grace of God, that the Lord will feed us with himself so that we not collapse, and so that he can reproduce his life in us so that we can counter the darkness, the forces of darkness, the evil that seems to have an upper hand. But again, as Scripture says, it's that narrow path, and in the end, it'll be that remnant that bears the cross, and in so doing, participate in the sufferings of Christ for the salvation of mankind, humankind. And it seems to me we're kind of moving in that direction, unless by God's grace there is this collective reawakening where we return to the proper worship of God, which is offering our lives a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, our spiritual worship. Okay, everybody, thanks for being with us. We will be back Thursday. Father Coyce will be here tomorrow. Yeah. So Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
What's there to say? When the world makes no sense, do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide.
high.